thank everybody for here showing up on February 11th, and we'll be doing part one of our study as we're reading their preface and trying to get a better glimpse of some of the things that are in there. Okay, we're going to be reading on page number 10.
During the 1500s, 16th century immediately after the last Moor, which is black Africans, was defeated in Europe in 1492. At the beginning of the 1500s, the authorization sanctioned scholars wasted no time in removing all traces of the black African presence in the information of Judaism and Christianity. Of destroying, removing, and remaining all evidence of black African formation of Judaism and Christianity, then this laid the foundation of what happened a century later in the 17th century, 1600s. 1. The authorization, King James Version of the Bible in 1611, and 2. The official use of propaganda in 1622. I hope we can see.
Okay, let's hold it there. Let's try to explain what you just read.
Okay.
How would you explain what you just read?
Well, I would explain it back in the 1500s. That's when the scrolls and the Bible and everything was.
Nope. What happened in the 1500s?
And the paragraph before that? Yes, the paragraph before that. Well, the scrolls and everything was destroyed. Well, actually, recovered. 1859 and the recovery of the Dead Sea Scrolls.
Go back one more page.
Okay.
And it'll tell you what happened in the 1500s. That was the Dead Sea Scroll part.
Right. The rise of the Western culture during the 16th century caused most books, relics, icons, and other religious artifacts in support of Africa's contribution to the foundation of Judaism and Christianity.
Okay. So what do we see happening, as you said, in the
1500s, where the religious artifacts and everything as far as Judaism and Christianity have been destroyed. So
what aspect of the books and artifacts that was destroyed? The scrolls that supported what?
That supported the Bible.
As
they wanted it.
As an African origin. That's what they got rid of.
Okay.
All evidence that pointed to African
Americans, yes, contributions to the Bible.
That's right. So that's what they had gotten destroyed. So because that was being destroyed, then centuries later, even of today, we don't still understand our role as it fits in biblical history.
Right.
And so the book is to try to understand
Catherine.
What is biblical history at this point. Yes, Catherine, we're on page 10.
Okay.
In the book, are you somewhere where you can get to the book and the web, or?
I'm home now.
Say it again.
I'm home now.
Oh, okay. You got page 10 with us?
I'm sorry?
Do you have your book with you?
Yes. I'm home. I have the book.
Okay. Yes, we're on page 10.
Uh-huh.
Okay, we're reading we started reading the second paragraph. We're going back to try to understand some of the history of what's going on in the past, present, and future, as it all relates and ties together. Okay, if you're there, we're going to have, okay, we have Antoinette with us, and she's going, she was reading.
During the 16th century, immediately after the last war, black Africans were defeated in Europe in 1492. At the beginning of the 1800s, the authorized sanctioned scholars...
Okay, let's hold it there. So what happened in the 1500s or the 16th century?
That's when everything was basically being taken away from us. And
okay, when you said taken away, what was being taken away? Can you hear her fine?
Yes.
Okay.
The scrolls, the African, black, American African Bible.
There were no Americans at that point.
Well, yeah, no Americans, African. Contribution of the Bible.
Of the Judaism and Christianity. Now, what happened at that time? Do you remember, Catherine, what was going on in the 1500s to cause them to do that?
Well, they were moving all the Moors out, defeating the Moors in York.
Yes, that was the defeat of the last Moor in 1492.
Mm-hmm.
The year they, Christopher discovered America. So you can always know when they're using smoke and mirrors, because they'll make an event important to hide the another major event. And most people have never heard that the Moors ever, any black people ever ruled Portugal and Spain, parts of Europe. Was that ever taught in your in any of y'all teachings?
No.
No? For you? Okay. Mm-hmm. Catherine?
Has it ever been taught to us? No.
Oh, okay. Now, I do remember in one group taught it. It was Seventh-day Adventists. When they talk about last-day events, they talked about, as a matter of fact, I spoke with a lady. Her name was Frazier, when I was in Hagerstown, and I had told her about this event, that in 700, for 700 years, the Moors, the Africans had ruled Spain and Portugal. And her response was, yes, that was true, and that was, and so when they kicked them out, they changed it into a race war or religious war, which was a race war. So what she said that they had told her, or what they were teaching, was that if you look at the trumpets, the Bible talks about that there will be a, in one of the trumpets that it'll blow, and out of the smoke, out of the bottomless pit will come locusts. It'd be look like locusts, and they refer to them as the Moors, and they refer to them as black people. So basically what they were trying to say was that the, now a lot of people think Moors are, what do we call it, are Muslims, Islam. And a lot of people will tell you that Moors are Islam, Islamic people. And the same thing, people will tell you that African religion is Islam. And all black people's religion is Islam and Voodoo. Those are the type of things that they'll tell you. Now, the problem with that, the word Moor means black. So it had to do with more of your race rather than your religion. Now, remember, how did Islam spread? Well, Islam is not an African religion, but Islam spread from Arabia, and what they would do is that during the time of the Crusades, the Moors, the Islam was spreading from the east, and from the west was spreading Catholicism with the Crusades. And the two would collide. And so whoever conquered a land, you had to convert over to either Islam or to Christianity. And so basically, or European Christianity, the version that we know, basically what had happened was that when Islam came into Africa, because they were right off Arabia, when they came into Africa, especially the east coast of Africa, they would go through, and if you didn't convert, they killed you. And my cousin told me that inside the book of the Quran, that they tell you that they killed off many Hebrews in Africa, African nations that were Hebrews, that they killed them off because they refused to join Islam. Then from the other end of the coast, from the west end, is the Western powers that would be coming through, which is the Crusades, and they would collide, the two of them, and they would either one would convert you or die. So you either became a Christian or you became a Muslim. And so because the Islamic Crusade had spread mostly through Africa and taken lots of Africa, that's the reason why there's many African nations that are Islamic. But Islam is not an African religion at all. It's an Arab religion. And so what? So then the Christians, the missionaries would come in and convert people, and they would find lots of people who were Islamic. And then they tried to say that that was their religion. So when they make this presentation that the Portugal and Spain was Christian, quote-unquote, European Christian, that it was the hand of God that had come down and defeated the Moors or Islam so that Christianity could spread throughout the world. And that's how they justified. But in reality, it was a race war. It was the Africans against the Europeans, but they don't say that. Now, let me give you a good example. If you look up Moor, you should find a person by the name of Maurice. I think his first name is Victor, I think, but I know his name is Maurice. He's called Saint Maurice. Now, he was a general in the army of the Crusades. So he was a Christian, and they called him the Black Moor Saint. He's a saint in the Catholic Church now. So that proves that the Moors has nothing to do with Islam. Otherwise, there couldn't have been a saint, a Maurice of that was a Moor. Does that make sense to you all?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. So that was the only time that I heard it used. So they use it. They didn't deny that the Africans or the Moors ruled Europe. They just tried to make it cover up, to make it seem like, okay, it was a religious war. When it wasn't a religious war, it was just a, how do they call that? They call it when you exterminate one race?
Genocide.
Yes.
Genocide.
Say that again.
Genocide.
Yes. Genocide.
Destroy a race.
Yes, and that's what they were doing. So to cover it up, they would say that they were having a religious war. Now, during that particular time, as the Moors, now there's a few things that happened. One thing was that before the Moors came, that the Catholic Church was ruling, and Europe had gone into the Dark Ages. Y'all remember what the Dark Ages were about?
I probably need my memory refreshed on that.
Okay, no problem. How about you?
No.
No? Okay, no problem.
Sorry.
Okay. Now, okay, so the way it happened was that in the Dark Ages is when Europe and the papacy had basically thrown everything out, all science and all of those type of things, and they were ruling as a church under, quote-unquote, Peter's rule, and that the Peter is the head of the church, the stone of the church, and so Yahweh has built his church on Peter. And so he was the first, quote-unquote, pope, as they would say. And then from then they would succeed as successions of them being ruling over the church.
Professor. Excuse me, you said the first pope?
That's the way they would put it. Well, you know, this is all, you know, European, you know, stuff to build of whatever they want to build.
Oh, okay.
You know, that's just tradition. That's not biblical. But that's how they put it. So, I mean, you got to start off with you got to pull it something from Scripture and then, you know, modify it. So we know that Yeshua told Peter that he was the rock, really, the way the story really goes. Is that Yeshua asked his disciples that who do men say I am? And they said, some say you're John the Baptist, some say you're Elijah, some say you're the Messiah, some people, okay. And he said, okay, that's what people say. Now, what do you guys say I am? And Peter said, thou art the Messiah who should come. And so then Yeshua said, okay, and upon thy rock, and I shall build my church upon this rock. Now, many people interpret that meaning that Peter was the rock that he was going to build his church on. But the word Peter means pebble. So he's not building a church on a pebble. We know that the only true rock, and the Bible calls him the rock of ages, is the Messiah. So that was the rock he builds his church on. So this thing that, okay, that Peter was the first rock, so Peter was the church, and Peter was the first pope, and then they can, so with that tradition, then they can go on and build, you know, the succession of the papacy.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so you know how the papacy came into existence and their rule. So what was going on when they ruled, they would tell people what to do. When they told people what to do, what would happen is that people were going into what they called the Dark Ages. So they rejected science, and they were calling everybody heretics and killing everybody off, anybody that had any intellect or any knowledge. And so basically what had happened was that all of Europe had gone into this state, and what had happened was that you had also the Black Plague, and many diseases were going on there because they didn't have sanitation, they didn't know how to use water, they didn't have any of those things. So when the Moors or the Africans came into Spain and Portugal and conquered it, then they brought in universities, college, reading, education, sanitation, lights. And they also brought in meals, eating three meals a day, balanced meals and so forth. So that's how they moved them out of the Dark Ages. Now, many people never know how did Europe move out of the Dark Ages. They don't tell you how they moved out of the Dark Ages. They just said that by the grace of God, we moved out of the Dark Ages because we was a Christian nation. See, they keep using this God to cover up that anything that Africans had given to them. And so it's like, you know, this stuff falls out the sky, or a miracle. So basically, that's what had happened. And so Spain and Portugal were more advanced than all the other European countries. And so the Europeans decided that, okay, hey, we got colonies, we got, okay, let's kick these guys out and act like, you know, that they didn't exist. And that any way that it happened, it was through the hand of God, not through Africans saving the Europeans, as usual. Okay, is that sort of clear?
Yes, Professor, but if for me to put that in a word with the Dark Age, what would you call that, like a time of rebellion or?
No, it's actually called in history the Dark Ages of Europe.
The Dark Ages of Europe?
Yes.
And if I was to say that and someone said, well, what does that mean? Like if I could put that in a few words, the Dark Ages.
Okay, the Dark Ages was when Europe was in ignorance of science, knowledge, and all the other things that we have today that our society has.
Okay.
Now, one thing you need to do, since you don't remember the Dark Ages, is look it up.
Okay.
Look it up, and you can Google it, and they'll tell you about the Dark Ages, and then you'll see, you know, why it was so dark. It was dark through ignorance and knowledge. That's what they were referring to as the Dark Ages.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Because that's an important thing. And, you know, when we were in school, they talk about the Dark Ages. Mm-hmm. And so, but they don't tell you, you know, why it happened, how it happened. They just tell you they went into the Dark Ages, then they went into the Renaissance, they went into the light of enlightenment. You know, well, how'd y'all get at it, all that? Then some people will say today, you know, Martians came. You know, not African. The Africans couldn't get these guys out. So Martians came. So we got aliens. You know, I mean, these guys are really going to every direction possible, except, you know, acknowledging the black contribution to anything.
Yeah.
Now, I don't know if y'all have heard, but now there's this new thing out that the aliens taught the Africans how to build pyramids. Because whites couldn't build pyramids, so, you know, there's no way that black people could build pyramids. Did y'all ever hear that before?
No, I've never heard it before, but I know that they would obviously say things like that to make it seem like we don't know anything.
Mm-hmm. Have you ever heard anything like that, Catherine?
No, that's what I was saying. I never heard of that one.
Ah, okay. Well, don't worry. You will be hearing about it.
Okay.
That's talking about, I think, when they talk about 2012 and stuff.
Uh-huh.
People will talk about aliens. And then they'll talk about, some will talk about aliens. Everybody got their little spin on this thing. And then
they
some
say
will talk.
2012 is supposed to be the end of the world, right? That's what they're saying.
Well, okay, there's a few versions on this thing, okay? The way the Mayas put it, they had something that talked about some Mayas' interpretation of their own history, of their own writings, is that inside of this chart that they had, they were writing about periods, that's the end of an age. Now, the end of an age could mean a lot of things. An end of an age could mean that, okay, there were so many ages that existed, you know, and that you're moving from one world into another world. As an example, from the Industrial Age, that was an age, okay? And then we moved into the Information Age, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so these are different ages, different things that dominate. And so in astronomy or astrology, people talk about these different ages also, astronomically, from that viewpoint. Then you have a viewpoint that, you know, during the Africans, okay, the way I understand this, it should be in one of my PowerPoints. When y'all go up online, you can look at it. And basically what happens is I'm able to show that for the first 2,000 years, from 4,000 B.C. to 2,000 B.C., that Yahweh communicated with Adam and Eve and his descendants, which were classical Africans. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
And then the next 2,000 years, so then after that we rebelled and, you know, and we stopped following Yahweh. So then Yahweh picked up another group of people, which were what we call the Hebrews, with Abraham. and his time frame was around the 2000 BC to around 0 BC AD at the time of the Messiah. Okay? And then what happened is that after that time, then the Bible talks about the time of the Gentiles. So basically what happens is you have these Africans who are following him, the classical Africans from the time of Adam all the way up to Abraham. When you read through my book, you find out that the Hebrews, who are 12, marry a bunch of these Africans who accepted Yahweh, and then they become the new Israel, and that's why they're called African Hebrew Israelites. Okay, so it's a mixture of what? Africans who had followed them first, then it was introduced to the Hebrews, and so these are African Hebrews, okay? And then there's 12 tribes, so there's African Hebrews and Israelites. And then the African Hebrew Israelites, us, we stop following Yahweh, and we, you know, put the Messiah to death and all of that type of stuff. But still there's a remnant out of that who were what we call the apostles and the 120 on the day of Pentecost, and the gospel being spread. And then and the Gentiles are now for the first time introduced to Yahweh. Now, prior to that, the Africans had known Yahweh for how many years? I just gave y'all a chronological order.
4,000
years.
Right.
Okay,
4,
so the 4,000 years, the Africans knew Yahweh. Now, how long did the African Hebrews know Yahweh?
2,000 BC to zero.
Okay, 2,000 years.
2,000
to BC to zero. And now we have the Europeans who are now running the show, and we know that they have fallen off, and so now is the end of their era, and that put us from around 0 or 70 AD to what? Today.
Today.
And what are we? 2000, basically around 2000, 2012, that's where we are. That so that means that these three different major groups had a chance to rule and to follow Yahweh. Is that right?
Yeah.
Okay, Europeans, African Hebrews, which some were called Semitic or what else would they call them? They would call them Asianic, and then you had the Africans. And during this whole time, Africans still worship Yahweh, those who were faithful, not the majority or certain numbers. So then we have, all the way up to today, Yahweh, that the Europeans have known about Yahweh for how long?
2,000. I'm sorry.
Europeans?
Yes, 2,000 years. And what time frame are we saying?
2,000 to zero.
Okay, from 2,000 A.D.?
Yes.
To zero, if we go back. So they've known him for 2,000 years. So the Hebrews, the African Hebrews, how long have they known Yahweh?
4,000.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Yes. Yeah. You said the Africans knew him for 4,000 years. The Hebrews knew him for...
Wait. Okay. You're talking about different numbers.
Oh, okay.
Okay, let's not mix them. And I just moved to a whole nother thing at that point. So let's backtrack.
Okay.
We're at around 2012 A.D., right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
We backtrack till around the time of the Messiah, and that puts us at what time?
That puts us back at 2000.
Okay, the Messiah, they say, was born around 2000 or 4 B.C. and 4 A.D., something like that. Mm-hmm. And so we know his ministry, they put it around, what, 33 A.D.?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, good. We'll make sure everybody's on agreement first. Okay, so if we move from 33 A.D. to now, or halfway in between his life, which will be half of 33 is what?
It's 15.
It's 16, 15?
15, yeah.
Okay. So if it's 15, that puts us how many years away from 2,000 years?
15.
Okay, so we got to wait to 2015, and then that will put us smackly around halfway through the life of ministry of the Messiah. Okay, so if we look at that, when the message that Gentiles were able to hear Yahweh and follow him, they could follow him, and they've been knowing of Yahweh for how long?
33
AD to when?
To now.
Okay, which is?
Which is 2012.
2012,
okay.
Right?
Yes, approximately, yes, 2012. That once we hit 2033, that means it's been exactly 2,000 years, right?
Yes.
2033.
Yes. From the death of the Messiah to
no,
to today. Okay. So,
mm-hmm.
Okay, so now that ends, okay, that would end the time of the Gentiles. Now, these are approximate dates. Don't be listening to these words. Don't forget who's telling us these numbers, okay? All right, so don't make it exactly 33 A.D., okay?
Okay.
So but they have a general ballpark. That's the bottom line. Okay, they have a general ballpark. So then the Gentiles had known him for 2,000 years. Now, how long have the Hebrews known him and followed him?
The Messiah?
The Creator.
4,000?
4,000 years.
Yes.
No, not 4,000 B.C.
Sorry. Okay.
It is correct. It's 4,000 years. Now, how do you get 4,000 years? Now, from today, we're starting. So we're starting at 2012, and we're backtracking.
Okay.
To what time frame did Abraham start following Yahweh?
That was in 2000.
2000
B.C.
Okay, so 2000 B.C.
Mm-hmm.
is where Abraham started picking up following Yahweh. Now, the key is from A.C. to B.C., it might be a little confusing. I just want to make sure y'all, I look like that might be confusing you all.
A little bit.
Does everybody understand that once you start, it's like a negative and a positive
okay.
if you have a number line that you're counting. The zero origin would be 0 B.C. and 0 A.D. And then if you move to the right, you increasing it to A.D., and that's where we are. So we're in 2000 A.D.,
okay?
And that's after his death. That's what that's supposed to mean. And then B.C. is supposed to be before Christ, and that's supposed to be B.C. So Abraham started following Yahweh around 2000 B.C. So he was on 2,000 years from the point of zero.
Yes.
And so they followed him then all the way up to zero, and then some of them followed all the way up to today, which gives them the 4,000 years. So do y'all see that?
Yes.
The Hebrews or Abraham?
Abraham was the first Hebrew. So Abraham and his descendants, his people, which is the African Hebrew Israelites, yes, or the African Hebrews.
I'm a little confused because you said the Hebrews. You said the Hebrews followed him for 4,000 years, right?
Okay, if we count up to today. So if you count back 4,000 years from today, what date do you come up with?
4,000 years from today?
Yes. From 2000, basically.
It would be.
Okay, everybody has to get there.
So it would be something like 2000 AD, 2000 something AD.
Okay, we're in AD, so it can't be 2000 AD because that's where we're starting point. So now we want to go back. Don't you mean BC?
BC.
Right.
BC.
BC, right. And that's why I want to make sure, because I know that timeline and them going backwards, you know, it's a little tricky if you don't get it. Okay, so you know if we study at 2000 AD to where we are, and we go back 2,000 years, we come up with zero, and then if we go another 2,000 years, we wind up with 2000 BC.
Yeah.
And then that total of adding them two together gives us 4,000 years. That the Hebrews have known Yahweh. Is that okay? Did you follow that?
Yes.
Okay, so I got both of y'all on board on that. Okay, good. Now, the question is, how long has the Africans known Yahweh?
I thought you said the Africans knew him 4,000 years.
No, who was the first African?
Hmm?
Who was the first African?
Abraham.
Nope, Abraham was the first Hebrew.
The first African?
Yes, who was the first African on the planet?
Adam.
Thank you, Adam and Eve. Okay, there you go. So now we're talking about Adam. Now, when was Adam created? I mean, when was the fall of man? Or fall of human race.
In the Garden of Eden.
Right, and that started at what time? 4,000 B.C. So make sure that's down. You got 4,000 B.C.
Yeah.
So now, up to today, how long have they known Yahweh?
4,000.
If the fall was 4,000 B.C.?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
And we're now, so it would be like 6,000.
And we're at 2,000 A.D.
Would it be 6,000 A.D.? If we added the 4,000 B.C., if we added the 2012 B.C., so wouldn't that be like 6,000, 1,200 B.C.?
Exactly. No, not B.C., because you can't use B.C., time frame.
Right, A.D.
Oh, you can't use, okay, but years.
Yeah, we're talking about years. I'm asking you how many years, not how many A.D.s, B.C.s.
Okay, year.
Okay, so you come up with how many years have the Africans known Yahweh?
6,000. 1,200.
Not 1,200.
6,012.
Because you're okay. So now, how do you come up with this calculation? Now, the reason why I'm asking you guys this and trying to get y'all to see that is simply due to the fact that if y'all are talking to people, they're going to, hey, they never heard this before. You can be sure this ain't preached out no pulpit, but this is historical fact. From the Bible using the European dates.
I would explain it because Adam, who was the first, this was 4,000 B.C., he was the first Christian.
There was no such thing as Christian.
First Christian, but first African.
Okay, the first African to know who?
Yahweh.
Yahweh.
That's the key. Okay, and that's all I'm asking you. I'm asking you, how long did the Africans know Yahweh? How long did the Hebrews, African Hebrew Israelites know Yahweh? And how long have the Europeans known Yahweh? Those are the three questions. I just don't want you to give me a number. I want you to be able to explain to me how you derived that number. Because when you're talking to other people, they never heard this, so you're going to have to derive it for them.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's why I want us to go through the gymnastics now rather than you call me back later. Brother Emmanuel, Professor, that didn't work.
Okay, well, I was calculating it from...
Okay, now which one are you calculating?
There's the first... African to know Yahweh.
So you're going to translate to us how long the Africans have known Yahweh to today.
How long they've known him was from the beginning of time, which was the first man, which was Adam, and he known all the way up until the last day of B.C., 4,000 years, right?
Good point.
And then from 0 to 2012 is added on 2012 years to the 4,000. That's how we get 6,012.
Good point. Okay. Now I'll have Antoinette explained to us how long has the African Hebrew Israelites known Yahweh.
Okay. The Africans knew Yahweh from 4,000 B.C. to 2,000 B.C. 2,000 B.C. And the Europeans, they knew Yahweh from...
Okay, so you're saying the Hebrews had known Yahweh for how long?
The Hebrews?
Up to today, yes, the African Hebrew Israelites.
Up to today is 4,000... 4,000 years.
Okay, now explain how it's 4,000 years.
Because we're going from when the Africans knew Yahweh to...
No, we're not dealing with Africans. Catherine
okay.
already did Africans. You're doing African Hebrew Israelites.
Okay,
that's what you're dealing
with. The Hebrew Israelites from 2000 A.D.
And who was the first?
The first were...
At 2000 A.D., I mean B.C.?
Were the Africans.
Nope. Who was the first Hebrew in the Bible? That's Abraham.
Abraham.
And when did Abraham come on the scene? 2000 B.C. Okay, so that's where we're starting. We're going to start with Abraham to today.
Okay.
Because he was the first Hebrew. I mean, that's at least the first Hebrew that the Bible talks about who knew Yahweh.
Okay. So, Abraham was the first Hebrew, which was from 2000 B.C. And then the Europeans.
But we don't care about the Europeans. We're talking about just the Hebrews. Okay?
Okay.
And up to today, okay?
And up to today, which is 2012 A.D.,
okay, so what numbers are you adding together to give you your 4,000?
The 2,000 B.C. and...
Which goes to?
Which goes to...
Zero?
Zero.
Okay.
A.D.
Okay.
Which were the Hebrews.
Right, that's when the Messiah was around, yes, and then, And then
so
those... Those that were faithful continue on to today. Now,
yes, and that's how I got that.
Okay, so what numbers are you adding together to get 4,000?
2000 A.D. to 2000 B.C.
Okay, 2000 A.D. to 2000 B.C.
Right.
Okay, now how do you get 4 out of the 2? That's what the people are going to ask you.
Adding them together.
Okay. Now, why are you adding them together?
Because that's when the Hebrews...
Because they're split, right?
Yeah,
it's split.
Yeah.
A.D. and C, B.C.
It's
split.
Different, yeah.
And so 2,000 on one end and 2,000 on the other end add up to give you 4,000.
Add up to give you 4,000.
That's how y'all got to explain it. Otherwise, the people are going to nail you. I'm telling you. They're going to nail you.
Okay.
So there we go. So we have that. Okay, and now I can explain the simple one. You know, I'll give y'all the hard work first. Okay, so then everybody understands that from around zero to about today is approximately 2012. So 2,000 years the Gentiles have known Yahweh. So this is the point. Each one of these changes can be considered an age, okay? So the end of the Africans just knowing Yahweh age ended at what time?
2000 B.C.
Around 2000 B.C. Okay. The end of the African Hebrew Israelites knowing Yahweh.
0 A.D.
Okay. That went around 0 A.D. So they were the only, that's the time. Oh, whoa. Okay, let me backtrack. Okay. Okay, so then we can say another age happened after the death of the Messiah, because the Hebrews were the ones who helped put him to death. At that point, then Yahweh now introduces a new group of people to serve him, which is now the Europeans. Okay? So that would end another age, and that's what they will tell you. That's what they teach you. This is what they teach you, dispensation. this dispensation ended because now the Hebrews are no longer the sole people who know Yahweh. But they don't know any better because the Africans needed him before the Hebrews, and they'll never tell you that because then you know it's an African book. Okay, so now that the Gentiles have been ruling and controlling the word of Yahweh, ruling it, and they had fallen off the horse. Now, each time, notice, everybody keeps falling off the horse. The Africans stop following Yahweh to a certain extent, and those who are faithful still are Africans join in with the Hebrews. And that's why they're called African Hebrew Israelite, because they have Africans. Remember, there were how many Hebrews were there? There was Abraham was the first. Then Abraham had who? Isaac, which was one. Isaac had who? Jacob, who was one. And Jacob had how many children? 12 children. So that's where you get the 12 tribes of Israel, right?
Yes.
Catherine?
Yes.
Okay. So now that we have the 12 tribes of Israel, when they go into, now who are the Israelites marrying? Okay, they can't marry themselves anymore. Remember, there's only one of each of the groups, right?
Yes.
So they can't keep remarrying themselves. So remember, when we finish the book, you'll be able to see, I think one whole chapter says, who does the Israelites marry? And I show you clearly they're marrying Canaanites, they're marrying Hamites, they're marrying Egyptians, they're marrying Ethiopians, they're marrying all of these Africans. Okay, so that's why when they leave Egypt, the Bible calls it a mixed multitude, because they are Africans who are worshiping Yahweh, marrying with Hebrews. Now, when they went into, since there were 12 males, they had them, these 12 males had to marry or have children by at least another 12 Africans, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the first generation that we can call clearly African Hebrews. And then we can call them Israelites because they were the 12 tribes of Israel. The Bible tells us that they went, 70 of these African Hebrews went into Egypt at the time of Joseph when there was what we call the famine in the land. When they went into the land, what happened was that they were given the best of the land, and then these 70, when they left the captivity in Egypt, some debate is 280 years later, some say it's 400 years, whatever the number is, when they leave in the Exodus, there's like 3 million of them. And some say there's even 6 million. So question is, how do you move from 70 to 6 million or 3 million? There's only one way you can do that, by intermarrying with who? With the Egyptians, the Ethiopians, the Africans. Now, remember, the Bible does not refer to any Europeans in that area at that time, so they could not have married any Europeans. The Bible clearly states of who they married. Matter of fact, it even gives you the lineage, and that's when he tells you, yeah, these are all Africans who they married. And that's why it's called the land of Ham, because they are the descendants of Ham. Okay, so when that time came, when they started following Yahweh, and then when they stopped following Yahweh, or the majority stopped following Yahweh, not everybody, but you had the 12 apostles, 120, then that was the age of the Hebrews no longer following Yahweh and in charge of what's going on. And so then now the last generation or the last group of people who are following Yahweh would be the Gentiles, and the Bible calls it the time of the Gentiles, or you can call it the age of the Gentiles. So basically we had three different ages that occurred. And so the end of the age could only mean one thing. That means it's the end of the European rule. And so to them, that's the end of the world. If they're not ruling no more, that's the end of the world. Because they say, we're not giving it up unless we blow it up. We don't care, man. Ain't nobody getting this. So can you see how what it means when it says the end of the age, or what that means, or what interpretations you can put on this thing?
Yeah.
Okay. So this is what the Meyer is saying. We're not saying it's the end of the world, but it's the end of whoever's ruling. It's the end of their world. So the world as we know it today, with the Western world ruling and all the rest of that, that's coming to an end. We know that. The Bible talks about that. What will end the time of the beast, this European rule and so forth that is going on today? What will end it, biblically, from the Bible? It's found in the book of Revelation. What age will be entered into to undo all of this stuff? Do you think you know? Antoinette? Or Catherine?
You mean like the new age that they're talking about?
No, forget them. We're not even talking about them. We're talking about biblical now. I just explained to you 6,000 years, 2,000 age of African rule, 2,000 age of Hebrew following Yahweh, and 2,000 age now of European rule. So when the European rule comes to an end, that age of them ruling, or the time of the Gentiles, that's what it's called in the Bible, then who's supposed to set up the next kingdom?
We are.
Okay, what scripture tells us and how is the Bible tells us what kingdom will be set up? Now, this kingdom is going to destroy the beast power.
Yeah, the Messiah.
The Messiah, the thousand-year reign of the Messiah.
Mm-hmm.
So can you see that?
Yes.
Everybody see that? So we have 1,000 years. The Bible says that we will live and reign with the Messiah for how long?
1,000 years.
Thank you. 1,000 years. Now, notice the numbering of this. So up until today, we're approximately 6,000 years into this thing.
Mm-hmm.
And now when the Messiah comes and he adds an extra, what, 1,000 years to this thing?
Yeah.
That comes to how many years?
7,000.
7,000. Now, does 7,000 have any significance in the Bible, seven?
Seven is
completion.
Seven is for perfection.
Yes.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah.
Go ahead, you were going to say something?
No, I was saying completion, but you corrected it, perfection.
Uh-huh, okay. Now, what happens is, now, I want you guys to see the parallels. The Bible is not, it does not make mistakes. So make sure y'all jot this down. Okay. Basically, what happens is that we have how many days of creation?
Seven.
No.
You mean in the beginning of time?
That's creation.
Oh, okay.
How many days was creation?
Six.
6 days. And then what happened on the seventh?
That's when we rested.
That's when he rested, okay? That's when he sanctified it and set the Sabbath aside, okay? So there was in his pattern seven. But he only created six each day, and the seventh day he rested with labor. Okay, so the 7 days, the Bible tells us that there's such thing as, and the seventh day ends with the Sabbath, right?
Mm-hmm, yeah.
Okay, now, so the Bible also tells us that we should let the land rest, guess how many years? I mean, wait. Let me rephrase that again. The Bible says we should work the land how many years? And how many years should we let it rest? Think about
it. I don't know that one, Professor.
Okay, but think about it. And I want you all to think. Okay? He worked how many days?
6.
He tells us to work how many days?
6 days.
Okay, and he's, okay. So how many years you think he's going to have us work the land? He doesn't change. 6 years. You're supposed to work the land 6 years, and the seventh year is called the, guess what, a sabbatical. Write that down, sabbatical. So there's Sabbath for the seven-day cycle, and for the seven-year cycle is called a sabbatical.
Seven-year cycle?
7-year cycle. So every 7 years you have a sabbatical. That means that you worked the land for 6 years, and the 1 year you let it rest, period. And that's called the sabbatical. Now, we even use sabbaticals when professors are taking leave from school. When they take off a year, they call it a sabbatical. It's still being used today. Okay? So, we have the seven-day week cycle ending with the Sabbath. We have the seven-year cycle, the seventh year ending with the sabbatical. And guess what happens? Let me think. Now, the Bible does talk about in Peter, a day is as 1,000 years. So, how do you think it would work in reference to millennium? That we would be working, he would be working on salvation with man for 6,000 years. That's where we are today. And then the last 1,000 years would be what we call the sabbatical millennium. Write that down. And that's the only reason why we will be living and reigning with the Messiah for how long?
1,000 years.
1,000 years. And that would add up to what? The 7,000 millennium.
So the sabbatical millennium will be called the 7,000 millennium?
The sabbatical millennium is the 7,000 year here on planet Earth since the fall of man. The fall of humans, Adam and Eve. Now, I have all of this in my chart that I break down to 777. In my one of my charts, I have that down in there because that becomes vitally important. Now, remember again, these dates that man has come up with, okay, these dates that we're talking about, these dates of 4,000 B.C., 2,000 B.C., you know, and where we are today, all of these are numbers. These are not exact numbers, okay? So that's why at 2,000, no, some people taught at the end of the 2,000 years, 2,000 A.D., the Messiah was coming back, okay? But that's not what I'm saying. Number one, our numbers are off. We don't really know. But these are ballpark figures. Make sure y'all understand that. Nobody knows because the Bible didn't put down no number dates. Okay, but these are approximations what people are using from history and so forth, okay? So, all right, so I don't want y'all to be saying, oh, well, Brother Emmanuel's saying, we did 6,000 years. It's about to end and we bring it in. No, that's not what I said.
Right.
Because man doesn't know the exact years that we're really in. Okay, we have approximate, okay? That's all we have, nothing more. And I don't want, you know, but the pattern is there. That's the key part of why we have 6,000 years of sin and then 1,000 year of living and reigning with the Messiah. Okay, is that helpful?
Yeah.
So now, when they say that the end of the age that the end of the age will come, what could that mean biblically?
The end of the age of the millennium.
Okay, the end of the age, what? Give me a sentence. I'm not following your thought. I want to make sure I understand.
The millennium age, which is when 1,000 years are up.
The millennium age is when it begins at one point and it ends. It goes for 1,000 years.
Right. And you're asking, I'm sorry, ask the question again. Please.
Okay, people are saying that the Maya calendar says that this will be the end of the age. Okay? Now, biblically, what does that mean if we've come to the end of an age? At this time. And as a matter of fact, the Emirates are not saying 2012 is the number, neither. That's the European interpretation again. Okay, so that's another, we just got to keep all these things in balance with these guys who are playing tricks with numbers. Okay, so the end of the age biblically, of the last age biblically, for us would be what? The end of the 6,000 years, right?
Yeah, which is a 7-year cycle.
Right, and then so that would end the rule of man, and we had three main groups of people who have ruled over this time frame: Europeans, Africans, and Asians, which we might call the Semites, or those, the mixture between the two, which are Hebrews, African Hebrew Israelites. Okay? So he let all of them rule. Now he's going to rule for 1,000 years. So that would be the end of the age of man ruling. That's all. And the Bible, and that's biblically.
Which is sabbatical 7-year cycle. I'm trying to make sure that I got it.
Okay, okay. Well, before we get there, I just want to mention one more thing.
Okay.
So we can all be together.
Okay.
Okay, so does everyone see that the end of an age, now you know the Bible, do you know that when the Bible says that it'll be the end of the age, you know he says the end of the age, not the end of the world?
Yes.
Did you know that?
Uh-huh.
Yes, no?
I didn't pick up on that. Now I'm going to check that out.
Yes, yes, look at that, look at that. And I guess if you go to different translations, you're going to see different things. New King James and this and that and this guy and this guy. Yeah, look in Revelation. And so the catch is, if they're talking about an age, then what is it referring to? And I mean, and that's what we call it. Okay. Well, how would we call the second coming of the Messiah? Is that the end of the age or the end of the world? And if it is, what does that mean? It's a hard question. So this is what we'll do. We'll take a 15-minute break. Okay? All right, it's 3 now, and we'll return back at 3:15 because I got to grab the recording. It's been about an hour. And then that's why I want y'all to come back with the answer. That means you got to think.
The second coming.
Yes. The second coming, we call it the what?
Sabbatical.
No. Let's use some of the terms we were using before we got to this.
Okay.
What would you call the second coming? The end of the world?
The end of the world.
Okay.
Yes.
We sometimes refer to it as the end of the world. And I said in some texts and translations, you'll see the end of the age, not world.
Right.
My question is, what does it mean to be the end of an age, or what does it mean for it to be the end of the world when the Messiah comes, if we're about to reign for 1,000 years? Now, is that really the end of the world? And if it is the end of the world, what world are we talking about? The European rule world? No question. So it depends on these phrases, and that's what I want you to think about. Do you understand the questions now?
Yes.
Okay. Is it a deep question?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, don't forget, Bobby said last week, Evangel don't let you off the hook, right?
Yeah.
All right. All right, so we'll come back in 15 minutes at 3:15.
Okay, bye-bye.
Bye-bye.